May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 1021. O Zion, when I think on thee, I wish for pinions like the dove, and mourn to think that I should be so distant from the place I love. Hymn 1021.
Let us read the Word of God, friends, this evening, two portions. That is Luke chapter 12, reading part of the chapter, and also reading in the first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 3. Luke chapter 12. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Therefore, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Thus far we read, friends, there in the word in Luke. Let us also now read, friends, in Peter's first epistle, chapter 3, commencing to read at verse 8. That is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in the prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Amen. May the Lord bless this holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, we come now venturing to call upon thy great and holy name. And Lord, because we so much need to, Lord, thou knowest it is with one, and we trust with many here, we feel much need to call upon thee, Lord, for there is so much we are concerned about and need. We need thee, Lord, we need thee to come like thou gavest Peter those words to pen. Oh, even saying, be not afraid, be not afraid. And always how we've read to Luke's record of his wonderful gospel, the gospel according to Luke. And Lord, thy words, thine own words, thou dear Son of God, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. Then how thou speakest to be afraid of him who, having killed, hath power to cast into hell. And Lord, the emphasis, I say unto you, fear him. Lord, oh, we come before thee now at a very solemn time in our lives and in the history of the world. Lord, thou knowest how terrible war is raging in the east. Lord, oh Lord, we do feel so greatly for many people there. And we know there are thy people there. And Lord, we are concerned. And Lord, thou leadest us in exercise of prayer. And Lord, we beg that as a dear friend here, dear esteemed friend here, has made mention of prayer meetings, the prayer indicted by the Lord will surely hear. And Lord, we do feel, we can say, we can hang on to this, that thou dost indict us to pray for these dear people, poor people, as they are in that terrible place where they are in that war. And Lord, all the fearfulness of what that wicked dictator is threatening, Lord, thou knowest, Lord, now. And now one has thought back into our young days when we were so in fear in a similar way. Lord, thou knowest. But Lord, there those wonderful words, and we have been looking, Lord, to into thy word to find those many fear nots in thy word, and those many places where thou dost say in thy word, be not afraid. And Lord, thou knowest, we have to come confessing we are afraid. We've got slavish fear, and we've been brought to feel so much the solemnity of our fears in the way that they are sins. Fears and unbelief are sins. And Lord, yet what we've read in coming to the concluding of reading, there is that wonderful bespeaking in thy word of filial fear, which works as faith does, it works by love. So, Lord, do come tonight. Thou knowest we have it in our heart to speak, especially to younger friends here, how they may be at this time, thou knowest. And, Lord, we have exercise to consider things, Lord, that may be causing, bringing them to be in much fear. But, Lord, to know the favour of thy granting that faith and that grace that we each need, that we may trust thee. Oh, Lord, that we may be blessed to be favoured to know we are by grace made right and kept right. Lord, it's thy saving grace that we so much look to and rely upon and need to beg for. Save me, O God. Oh, Lord, we think of the words of the psalmist, remember me with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Visit me with thy salvation. Oh, I may see the good of thy chosen, rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, and glory with thine inheritance. Lord, do come tonight and favour us here, that we may be favoured in the way of thy coming and presence in thyself with us. Lord, we may feel thy presence here in thy house as we have done many times. And Lord, oh, we pray that we may be blessed to remember. The word remember in those two angles of the meaning of it, Lord. Remember me. And Lord, that we should remember. We may be able to remember all the way the Lord our God has led us. Lord, so do bless the friends. Do them good. Suit thy blessing to each case. Thou knowest, Lord, the younger friends, the young people, and any that may even be young, even listening at home, if mother or father is with them, and Lord, led to listen, as we know it has been so many times, Lord, and thou knowest we especially bless thee and thank thee how thou hast used the means even for blessing of thy people in their own homes when they are there caring for their loved ones, their dear young children. And Lord, we pray it may be thy purpose in whatever way, according to thy will, to so bless souls tonight. Any that may be of other causes we know who listen in to Swabersey services, Thou knowest there are many friends up and down the land, and Lord, Thou knowest there, especially we have close bonds with a number, Lord, who, Lord, Thou knowest we pray for day by day. And Lord, Thou knowest we pray and beg now that Thy word may run and have free course and be glorified here tonight, and that Thy favour may be so felt by Thy people. Lord, may there be food for precious souls, for dying souls. We're all dying. You know, if there we used to have the letter from a dear aged man, Lord, and his beginning of writing, it was always the same way. We are dying. We are dying sinners. And Lord, how solemnly it is so. And Lord, Thou maketh Thy people aware of this, concerned over this, burdened for the need of being made right and kept right. So, Lord, do come tonight, Lord, and favour us that we may so be blessed personally, spiritually, suit Thy blessing, Lord, to each case. And, Lord, that we may worship Thee, our triune God. Oh, Lord, this is what we would acknowledge and pray for as our first purpose in gathering around Thy word. In this way we do here have the privilege of here tonight, that we may worship Thee, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We may praise God, from whom all blessings flow. So help us, Lord, to remember all the ways we beg, and Lord, to look back, and the younger ones have that time, how it is, according to when Thou didst call them. If Thou hast called them by Thy grace, if any are not sure of this, if any are in a way concerned, and Lord, if Thou hast given even as it was with one, as we may be able to make known tonight, when we were in great fear in 1962, a year before our marriage, and Lord, wonderfully Thou had given us some tokens, but Lord, the fearfulness of things obtaining, appearing on the earth, oh, so shook us and terrified us in those days, Lord. Oh, we beg Thee, if any are in such a state tonight, that Thou wilt so come and grant that favour, oh, as Thou didst to one all those years ago. Oh, Lord, that there may be blessing, Thy favour and blessing of souls, and giving assurance that they have part and lot in Thy great salvation. For this is the great, most important need we have, especially as known when we're brought under conviction of sin and the terrors of the law of God. Lord, oh, we beg, come for the purpose, Lord, to bless souls, to set souls at liberty, to set burden sinners free. Come for this purpose, Lord, tonight, to do good in Thy good pleasure here in this part of Zion, the city of our God, here below in the time state, Lord. Oh, bless souls and do them good, that they may bless and praise Thee. Now knoweth how we come to the concluding in the reading. And Lord, we do feel the need and leading of the Spirit to make mention of it in the way, and praying in that way for it. That Lord, there are those here, Lord, oh, we do believe there is a time coming when they must come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. Lord, let them not go on and on in the solemnity of disobedience, but oh, may they come to the time, the blessed privilege and favour, and to come to the highest privilege we believe we have on earth, to sit at table with our Lord. Oh Lord, the answer of a good conscience, as we've read of it, Lord, we do pray for it, that Thy people may so be brought into this favour. How we, Lord, felt sweet joy that we witnessed to recently, And Lord, the wonderful proof of it is that they tell us they feel such peace. They feel such peace. Lord, the favour of that, the proving of it, the peace of God. And Lord, it may be cares, many other cares, but there it is said to the apostle, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus. So, Lord, bless souls here tonight. This is our heart's desire and prayer, and they will get to thyself the honour and glory due unto thee. Oh, Lord, we love and esteem the people here, and this cause of truth is a garden of thy grace. Oh, Lord, do come down into thy garden. May it be acknowledged here among the friends. My beloved has come down into his garden, gone down into his garden to eat his pleasant fruits. Oh, may there be the fruits appearing and the spices flowing out as the word is preached here so regularly, week by week, and in the week, Lord, the Lord's days, and in the week, and Lord, the prayer meetings, and Lord, how thy people here in the way of their good and blessed custom gather, Lord, in a way, and regularly, Lord, and sincerely, all attending as many as can, as the word is clear to us all, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And we believe the dear friends here desire to keep to this and to so come when they are able. Any that are in illness or poorly, Lord, oh, go to them where they are. Those in trouble, tribulation, whatever it is, Lord, do appear for them. Those in sorrow, our dear friends, our dear family, our dear friend Benji here and his path, Lord, there. Lord, much it may be solitary way, but your, Lord, as we have reminded him and he acknowledges it, he has a lovely family, a good family to help and uphold him, Lord, but thou knowest, do give him special favours, Lord. Oh, I think of the theme, and Lord, it was so precious to me, my dear one, many years back now. He never takes away our all. Himself he gives us still. So to approve it, bless our friend, Lord. Thou knowest we have mourned much with him. Thou knowest, Lord. And remembering too thy servant, Lord, our dear beloved friend and brother Jabez, in his great sadness and loss. Thou knowest we feel it so much as that it's used, thy dear servant, for a very special blessing in one's own life and experience. And Lord, thou knowest we do so deeply feel for him. And Lord, as thou knowest we had the privilege to hear our friend and brother here's testimony, and dear Ruth's testimony, and our dear friend dear friend Benji, and we know thy servant in illness, thy servant who has had that witness illness of his wife and his great loss. Oh, he was the means of blessing for our friend here. And oh, with all these things are blessed in the memory of them, in the favour of them. But Lord, the loss is felt. The need is great. Great grace, oh Lord, is needed. But Lord, oh, we bless thee. We can acknowledge it together. He giveth grace. He giveth more grace. So hear us, Lord. Oh, we cannot multiply words more now, but thou knowest our burden for our own country, our homeland. And in these things of what is obtaining now with the war, we think of the great and terrible thing of the COVID virus which affected so many, and Lord, who visited the nations of the world with those great judgments and are still visiting the world with judgments with the virus still, the plague, and Lord, now the war, which is so solemn, and really we have to acknowledge it as such a great and terrible judgment. For the Lord, thou art in holy, perfect control, and ever does what is right. And Lord, we know it's not come by chance. Lord, he causes it to come. We know thou art never the author of sin, Lord. We're not putting it that way. But Lord, we tremble at thy judgments. Oh, they strike us with such solemn awe. We beg thee, help us to live in these days, not having our hearts failing for fear of the things coming on the earth. Oh, millions have their hearts failing for fear. But, oh, thy people, seek grace that we may live by faith upon thee, the Son of God. Oh, and bless tonight souls here that they might know and feel it, feel the favour of it. Oh, that we live by faith upon the Son of God and this Lord. Oh, may we each be able to say it, to testify, who loved me and gave himself for me. So do sanctify us under such a blessed favour, to believe and to know and to feel assurance, assure my conscience of our part. May this be our prayer in the Redeemer's blood. Bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. Oh, if thou do this, Lord, tonight, everything will be right. We shall be like those dear people who said, he hath done all things well. So help us each, Lord. We beg, pleading, the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn number 482. In heaven my choicest treasure lies, my hopes are placed above the skies. 'Tis Christ, the bright and morning star, draws my affections from afar. Hymn 482.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to some words you'll find in the second of the readings. That is Peter, the first epistle general of Peter, chapter 3, and verses 14 and 15. That is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do we have a good hope, friends? Have you got a good hope in you? The hope that is in you, I'm sure the apostle means a good hope. It's not just an ordinary hope or natural hope. It's a good hope. And that's a question I feel we should begin asking ourselves. Do I have a good hope? A good hope through grace. Because, and I especially feel for the young people, the younger friends, tonight, as you may have gathered from what I intimated or tried to pray in prayer, we're in very, very solemn days, terrible days. Terrible threats have been made by the Russian man, dictator, and there's ever so much going on in negotiations trying to prevent the spread of war, even to world war. And I've thought back in my experience, and maybe if I say a little of my experience, it might help some of the younger friends, perhaps the older ones too. I pray it may. But it was 1962. I was a young man then, 20 years old, and we had made our plans for our wedding, I hope in the fear of God. I'd been under conviction of sin for that time, from when I was just before 18 to 20, and we'd had a time of courtship and engagement, and our wedding was planned to be May the 11th in the next year. And in October, there arose the Cuban Missile Crisis. And the Soviet Union, Russia, was planning to install missiles only about 250 miles away from the coast of America. And the American president, and of course all the people there, were very worried, and there was about a month's great anxiety, and the threat of nuclear war was very much, and I was still under conviction, although the Lord had raised me to a measure of hope, and I had two sweet tokens under the ministry of the late Mr. Ronald Sayers. I had a word of promise from God, and under the ministry of the late Mr. Collier, I felt the word that he preached one Wednesday night at Stockport was a great help to me. The Lord knoweth. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I'd also had, on a very hot day, retiring, we'd been hoeing Brussels sprouts round each one. Very hot day, and I was very tired, and laid my head on a pillow. I felt so barren and so hard in my soul, and the Lord broke in with the theme, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And that really broke me to pieces. And then the words came so wonderfully. Words of the hymn, I bear in the upshot cure midst all the rage of hell. But at that time, running on from that, it was the Cuban Missile Crisis. And there was ever so much fearfulness of nuclear war. And you know what has been threatened at this time? And so I bring these words to you. I believe the Lord's given me them very early this morning, especially the words, be not afraid, be not afraid of their terror. Be not afraid of their terror. You may, some of you may have been afraid, and we're all subjects of fears, many fears, and we must become afraid when things are threatening us, and when we are fearful that we're in danger and that we may die. Millions may die, and you think of that, and the world may be so terribly brought to a terrible state. But, and this is what I used to think in those days, and being a young man, and we just had delivered a brand new Gray Ferguson tractor, which I so much prized and liked to drive and kept it clean. But as I was thinking of all these things, these natural things we had to do with, is it all going to come to an end? Is it all going to be completely destroyed? And this is how, of course, the advantage Satan was taking of all this was such a terrifying thing to me. But then, wonderfully, 2 years later, a year after we was married, I was wonderfully set at liberty under the ministry of the late J.S. Green, the Lord speaking through his servant to me. But I want to come to the word to consider with you, be not afraid of their terror. How can we be not afraid? What is it in the reality of it to you and to me? Is it about your soul? Is it about where you will be when death comes? We know death will come to every one of us by some way and means which God has perfect knowledge of. He knows the end from the beginning as regarding every person, every one of humanity. And of course, especially he knows his sovereign purpose for his people, those he set his love upon, that this may be in you. Such a great concern and question will be if the Lord's working in you, teaching you. Am I a real Christian? Am I one God loves? Am I one God has purpose to save? And it's a concern that you have in the face of all these things of dangers and fearfulness. Oh, the greatest concern, if you're a child of God, born of the Spirit, will be, where shall I spend eternity? How will it be with me when death comes? Whatever way it comes, how will it be with me? And so this exhortation, which is given to the dear Apostle Peter to write here, be not afraid, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. What does this mean? Oh, firstly I would say, oh, seek to be able to praise him. Seek to be able to believe, beg for mercy. Oh, it may be like the hymn writer put it, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. Sanctify the Lord God. You can't do it yourself, but if I may carefully say, if God has begun his work in you, he's given you a new heart. There's part of you where, within, part of you within you is holy, is of God giving a new heart. It will be in the way of God working by His Spirit in you, giving you concern and exercise, and this sanctifying, which is and must ever be, will be of the Spirit. It won't be what you do from yourself, but it will be as the Spirit works, and that new heart, that part of you which is where the Lord works and exercises you. Oh, like Paul said, you will know it. I hope I know it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And this means not two hearts of a person, your hearts, ye children of God. The children of God, they have a new heart. And he's exhorting the children of God to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. This is not the old heart, not the old nature. This is the new heart. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And you know, that is where God gives and exercises the child of God with the enabling to do it. You can do it by grace. You can't do it from yourself. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And what is that? Sanctification, as God sanctifies his people, he's setting them apart for his praise. And oh, isn't it this that you and I need to be exercised in? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. It's him alone. Thou must save, and thou alone. None but Jesus can do help the sinners good. It's looking to Jesus. Look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity joined with power. Oh, and God giving you to believe. Oh, to believe. To believe he's able. He's able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Sanctify the Lord God. Look into the Lord alone. Trusting in him. Casting all your care upon him. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And as favoured and enabled so to do, it's this. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and godly fear. Meekness and fear. So do you have a good hope? Oh, is it with you? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Do you have, do I have, do we have a good hope? Well, you know what we read in Luke, and it's a solemn but very blessed exhortation from the Son of God himself. Fear not them that kill the body. And after that, they have no more than they can do. I've often felt led out in prayer, praying for people in such situations as the poor Ukrainians are, you know. Oh, they fear terribly. They must fear terribly. Oh, the terribleness of fear. But you know, we believe there's those dear Christian people there, God's people there. I know our friend up at Attleboro, Tom Gudgeon, he's travelled in that area and met them, been with them. He spent 2 months out in Russia and those areas 1 year. And you know, we know there's those, and we try to help in the way limited it is that we can do, but we want to practically help. We should practically help if we feel we can and the way is made. As we pray for those dear people, thinking what terrible fear they have. And you know, friends, all God's people, and I'm not saying this to in any way put it to kind of encourage it, but every one of humanity have slavish fear. God greatly favours his people to save his people from slavish fear. But oh friends, it's a natural thing, fear. It's what come in with the fall, friends. Fear, a slavish fear, terrible fear came in with the fall. And every one of humanity is subject to it. But you know, God's grace saves his people from their fears. And what we have here, I believe, is this, God's way of so exercising his people so that they are saved from terrible slavish fear. And the way they're saved is God giving them faith. Faith in the bleeding lamb. Faith in the sacrifice, the death, the glorious resurrection, the victory of Christ. He has fought and conquered. Think of it, with his latest breath, triumphed all the powers of hell, dying, vanquished death. His faith, his believing in God, believing in Christ. Oh, sanctify the Lord God. The Lord God. The Lord God Jehovah. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready. Be ready always to give an account, to give an answer. Paul the Apostle speaks of it in a similar way, give an account. Here it is, give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. A reason of the hope. Oh, friends, do you have this reason of hope? What is this reason of a hope that is in you? Well, I believe you were saying, and if I may carefully say so, you know, this may be what some of you need to testify before the church here. Give an account of the reason of the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear, notice how it's put. The reason of the hope that is in you with meekness. God makes his people meek. He humbles them. He makes them meek. He makes them tender. Tender-hearted. Be ye tender-hearted one to another. He makes them meek in the way I think of it. You know, the meek, relying absolutely upon Christ. What he has done, what he has accomplished. They know they can't do anything savingly for themselves. They are meek. They're melted in gratitude. There is a way of salvation. There's mercy for sinners. There's hope for the vilest sinner, the fellow who lives to fill his need. And the meekness, the tenderness of heart, and the feeling of being melted in gratitude to God, humbled and meekness, and a quietness, a humble acknowledgement, meekness, and so thankful, melted in gratitude. This is what will be in this way, and fear, and this fear is not slavish fear. This fear is filial fear. Filial fear that works by love. And so, be ready. Are you ready? Are you able? Are you able to give an answer to every man, that every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you? Think of God's people throughout the earth, whatever their circumstances, whatever position and state they are in, wherever they are, whatever country they're in, whatever time in their lives it is, young or middle-aged or old, God's people, born of the Spirit, they have grace. God gives grace, the grace of life, and grace of faith, as it is his purpose to so lead them on and teach them. And they are favoured to become believers, believe into the saving of their soul. And this is what they give an answer to everyone that asketh, every man that asketh thee. Oh, give an answer, a testimony, tell of what you know, and how you're saved from the terrible fear that's so much spread throughout the world. Men's hearts failing for fear of looking after the things coming on the earth. But you, a blessed soul, favoured soul, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. Oh, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always, whether it's in liberty or bondage. You say, well, ever, when I'm in bondage, I'm bound, and we are. But surely an exhortation like this should stir us up and bring us to be out of bondage, in exercise, in diligence. Diligence, give diligence, friends, to make your calling and election sure, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And this is what saves from terrible fear. God sanctifying us, and we sanctifying the Lord God in a way of thankfulness to him, praise, and feeling the favours of his love, enjoying salvation full and free, as being blessed of the Spirit, favoured, to know the presence of Christ, to walk and talk with him, to live upon him, in him live, upon him cast their care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. I mean, as we've intimated it, we're changeable. There are the dark days. There is the state of bondage, which is very sad and solemn. And we, if we're concerned about our state and condition, and have a feeling sense of where we are, well, you will know if you're in a good state and condition, or you will know if you're in a hard and cold state and condition. God gives his people understanding. He gives them knowledge. He gives them wisdom, and being made truly wise unto salvation, surely you'll know if you're in a good condition or a bad condition. Oh, if we're in a hard, cold, and a neglectful, perhaps, condition, oh, is it in the new heart you're concerned about it? You won't be concerned as in and from your old nature. Your old nature is quite happy with being in a state of bondage. But is there that deep feeling in you, concern? I know I'm not in the condition I ought to be in. I'm in a fearful condition, a slavish, fearful one. I'm in a cold state. I'm not as I would be. Oh, and you're concerned about it. And then such a word as this, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Well, let's look into the Lord. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's exceedingly kind. He is your Lord and your life and your all. He's made himself known to you, revealed himself. Oh, you know the Lord as your Lord and your life and your all. And as the Holy Spirit so causes the favour of his blessed influence to be felt, remembering the new man of grace, then, oh, you feel this favour being sanctified, and the favour of your desire and exercise to praise God, to thank God, to acknowledge, oh, his wonders of his grace, to so feel it within you. And if you feel it within you, surely you should speak it openly. You should sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and it should come out. It should not just, as it were, sit within you. it should come out, and it should come out for this purpose, to give an answer to everyone that asketh thee. You know, it's an important thing for God's people to ask questions. I'll be very careful speaking, but there was a dear man who I loved. He was so very reticent. People said he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say anything about how he stands or anything. He doesn't make any open testimony. Well, I was concerned about this with other ministers. And the Lord led me to ask questions. And one of the questions I used to ask this dear man was, is Christ precious to you? He was kind to me, giving me refreshments, and we talked together. Is Christ precious to you? Very soon, a tear would appear running down his cheek. See, that brought him to the spot. And you know, though he didn't use many words, his demeanour showed the Lord God was sanctified in his heart. Oh, the Lord was with him. The Lord so touched his heart. Oh, a secret touch. People around didn't know it, but one being brought to feel closeness, we knew the Lord had touched him. You see, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. We should be ready. But oh, some people are very, very reticent to say anything. But the Lord may come and specially touch you. And then you'll have to speak and tell of what he's done for you. And give an account of your hope, the hope that is in you. And give an account to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. But I want to dwell upon the word reason. The reason. The reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. See, the reason is Jesus Christ. The child of God, the reason they have hope, it is Jesus Christ. Oh, their hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Is this your hope, friends? You needn't fear them that kill the body if you have this hope. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil, whither the forerunner has force entered, even Jesus. Hope in Jesus. Oh, friends, we have our changes, but can you, as it were, lay hold of the theme? Our hope in Jesus never dies. 'Tis cast within the veil. Oh, this is the favour God so blesses his people to have. Hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. Hope in him. What he has accomplished is glorious victory over sin and death and hell. By dying, laying down his life, and then rising again the third day. How he rose triumphant o'er the grave, gained the victory o'er sin and death and hell. The Easter day, when we sing Christ the Lord is risen today, we're singing a victory. Victory for the church, victory o'er the grave. Oh, the glorious resurrection, and friends, he rose again for thy justification. He rose again, that we may be blessed, favoured, and as the Lord may so apply his word and seal his people in their souls, seal them with redemption, seal them with the wonders of his grace, the wonders of redeeming love. And even higher favours. My dear one, I won't forget how Mrs. Green, the late Mrs. Green, that is, the late J.S. Green's wife, spoke of it when she was coming near to her end. She said she was experiencing justification by faith. Oh, what a favour, friends. Oh, so secure is the standing of the child of God. They need not fear. Oh, fear not their terror, whatever it is, and the terrors of all the journey, and the terrors of the wave, as we think of how the Lord spoke when Peter was crying out, "Lord, save or I perish," and he said, "It is I, be not afraid." Well, he said that first, and then Peter cried out, but you know, oh, all the terror, whatever it is, oh, we have nothing to fear if we have this good hope, which is as an anchor to our souls, and it's entered within the veil, whither the forerunner has force entered, even Jesus. And remember, he's alive forevermore. He is risen and there in heaven in his holy offices, as our great high priest above, as our intercessor, as the day's man, as a mediator. Oh, Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, you pray to him, come to our aid, pronounce the word, bid our corruption, bid my corruptions end. And the sanctifying is that we're blessed to know they are. They are dealt with. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Our sin is put away, is blotted out by the blood of Christ. These are the things of the favour of God, the blessings, the blessing of the Lord to make it rich. And he addeth no sorrow. And so, friends, if you know it, you're safe. You're safe. You're saved and you're safe. But if you know nothing of this, friends, nothing of these things, you are in danger. One of the themes of the hymn writer, which was so solemn to me in my early days, was, but if still a total stranger to his precious name and blood, thou art on the brink of danger. Canst thou face a holy God? Think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. You know, this is how it is. If there is terrible world war and our lives are taken, if we're a total stranger to Christ's precious name and blood, we're going to be lost. We're going to be cast away from God forever. We're going to be in those everlasting burnings. This is the solemnity of the things of the truth of God. The way is, God's way is for his people, is saving them, and is saving them and blessing them, sanctifying them, preparing them for heaven. And those who are blessed to know their interest in God's great salvation have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. For if death comes, and I used to think like this, and when I was raised to a home, I could begin to lay hold of it. You know, it was, if death comes to me, then I'll be in heaven. Are you able to say that? Oh, if death comes, it will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. If we have a saving interest in what Jesus Christ has done, what he's accomplished, and what he's doing now in his pleading for us, his intercession, his advocacy, all what he's carrying on his people's cause above, friends. And so we have this word, friends. I believe the Lord so gave it to me to bring it to you. I know I've only rambled about, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, and that, of course, is in things of one's living, and if I may say, under filial fear, given we want to be careful living, living in a way of as a true as Christians live, under the grace of God. And so as we may be living with this, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, and there's many things could be considered, should be considered, I come very short, friends, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, even in such times as this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And that's as God gives gracious exercise, and as the child of God is concerned and is in filial fear and not troubled or not left to slavish fear. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and godly fear. I want to just dwell upon this reason more. The Lord Jesus Christ has done everything, friends, for the church. You know this. You hear it from this pulpit so regularly, faithfully preached. Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, came to this earth, wrapped in humanity, to die. Can we say it? For crimes that I have done. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Did he devote that sacred head for such a wretch, a worm as me? Do you know it? Are you seeking to know this? Are you seeking to know and be assured of this? Is this the greatest, most important thing of your concern in your life? One thing is needful, friends. This is how the Lord spoke as regarding Mary, who sat at his feet to learn of him. Oh, one thing is needful. In the face of all the terrible things in the world today, one thing is needful, friends. The people of God know this. They know it. God has brought them into a real understanding of the priority, the highest priority. It's soul and all is at stake. The child of God knows it. The child of God is brought to become concerned. Where shall I spend eternity? Is brought to be concerned. Oh, if death comes, where will I be? But the Lord says to his people, be not afraid, because he has done all, and his people are found in him. Found in him. The apostle says that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. And this is what is so vital, friends, so important to you and to me, and that we might know and be assured of it and have reason for the hope and be ready to speak of the reason for the hope. I mean, if days are short with us, as many of us are in old age, is it a desire to live the rest of our days in the fear of God and walking humbly with our God? And I mean, especially those of us who have passed the allotted span, and like myself, the fourscore years, which the word says, yet is there strength, labour and sorrow. But I do really feel it, friends. I need to beg of the Lord to help me to go on. I want to live showing forth his praise. It's his love, his free grace that has won my affection. And I hope I can say, bound my soul fast. And with you, what is your desire in your life and the remainder of your life? Should it not be the praise, honour and glory of your Saviour, upon whom your hopes of heaven depend? He has done so much for you. Oh, so tremendous is his great goodness to his people. Can't be measured, can't be estimated for worth. It's far above all things of natural worth. Oh, it's for eternity, forever and ever. The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. If you know it, if you know his favour in some blessed measure, surely you should give it a reason for the hope. People may ask you, oh, you need to be ready to give reason, to testify, to tell of his wondrous faithfulness. You know what hymn 14 is to me. I believe it contains much of my commission for the ministry. Tell of his wondrous faithfulness, sound his name abroad. Oh, his every word of grace is strong as that which built the skies. The voice that rolls the stars along speaks all the promises. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an account, to give an answer. I keep stumbling on that word because it's in Paul's writings, I know, give an account. Give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Oh, I want to be meek. I want to be humble. I want to be tender. I want all my hearers to be. I pray for them. I pray for you all. I desire that you might know these things and so be living, safe abiding in Christ. Oh, living upon him, casting your care upon him. Oh, he careth for you. Oh, he is our Lord and our life and our all. Oh, we pray that at last we may so know these favours, the favours of his love, and so live in this way, and giving honour to our God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This is where we desire to be, in exercising this way, following our Lord, praising Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. We don't know what Mr. Putin will do. They've been telling many lies this afternoon. I've been listening to the debate in the United Nations, and they've been telling many, many lies. Oh, it's so clear they are. And what a solemn character he is. Oh, very much like that terrible character Hitler was. Acting the same, doing things terribly, solemnly, but it's permitted of God. I'm not saying that to infer God is the author of sin. Of course he's not. But this is coming. It's come, and it's come as a great judgment, an added judgment. Our friend Mr. Pocock, I've told you before, preached at Clifton just before the first lockdown. And he said in his speaking, he said, if we do not heed these judgments, if our country doesn't, if the nations of the world don't, the Lord may send another judgment. And what have we got now? This terrible judgment of this war, which is so causing so much awful trouble throughout the world. The economies of all the countries of the world has been greatly shaken by the pandemic. Think of what it is being done, how much more to it is. It's being shaken so much more now. Oh, the tremendous cost, even natural things, but the cost of lives. Souls ushered into eternity. Oh, and many of them not concerned about where they will spend eternity. souls lost. Oh, terribly taken in those ways. What a terrible, wicked world it is. This is what all the fruit of sin. But oh, the wonders of God's grace are to and for his people. Oh, that they may be with God, with Christ forever, saved. But oh, is it our favour to be in the secret, in the favour of our interest in his great salvation? May the Lord so bless us to know and feel the favour, the assurance of it, that we may know it is right, that we are right in this way, by God's grace saved, and we will be right at last. We will be called home at last to be forever with the Lord. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Mark Seymour will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Roland Wheatley on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1075. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed no man knows, I see from far thy beauteous light, and in me sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest, till I find rest in thee. Hymn 1075.
Thank you.
Friends, I'm sorry if the time is, if I'm wrong with the time, I think the clock has stopped. It's not been going. Dear Lord, oh, I beg thee, forgive anything that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss in my preaching. Oh, Lord, bless us each. Give us to so be in the favours that are so named and acknowledged in that last hymn. Oh, Lord, do sanctify us. Oh, help us, we might be able to sanctify thee, the Lord our God, in our hearts, Lord. Oh, crucify us, that's the needful theme, Lord. Oh, crucify this self. So help us, Lord, be with us. Lead us on in the way. Lead us in the way everlasting. And, oh, Lord, may thy grace and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen.